Going through the car wash this week, Celtic supporters call out the team for their move to Port Elizabeth.
Why are you taking the game so far? It's like almost the away games for Bloemfontein Celtic.
Deco Modise names his favorite holiday destination.
I don't even know where the country is. First of all, where's Azerbaijan?
It's in between.
Which
Europe.
Flight do you take? You tell me now. Where is Azerbaijan?
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
And we pick our ultimate nominees for the Puskas Award.
Also, the Thierry Henry goal against Manchester United.
Remember Ryan Giggs when he dribbled the whole of Arsenal?
And all Stevie Gerrard's goals.
Man, what about Eric Cantona's chip?
With his free kicks, my friend. Yo.
Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on Sokola Duma Radio. This is Ahlangana Khona.
Welcome to the car wash. This is the show where we cover all things PSL and football. I am your host, Slu Paho. But as always, I am not alone in the studio. I have the man with the gloves, Sean.
Thank you, sir.
How are you doing today, my friend?
Magic. 30 degrees, eh? Hot and bothered.
Very nice. But we're in the studio, so it's nice and cool up in here.
We should turn that off.
I was about to say, aircon's on. Yeah. Thanks,
aircon
Simon.
Aircon is on.
One job, Simon.
One job.
Actually, more like 13, 14, but hey.
And fresh off the plane, we have the legend himself, Deco Modise. How you doing?
I'm good, and you, bro?
All good.
Fantastico el classic.
Where'd you fly in from?
From Joburg.
Must be jet lagged, hey?
So guys, just a 2-hour flight. Jet lag.
So, last night we had a couple big games in terms of the title race, especially, even though Chiefs wasn't in action. Pirates versus Sundowns. Let's go in depth. 1-0 to Pirates.
Sure.
The era of Joseph continues. Unbeaten.
Yeah. Good game, hey?
Very good game.
As a neutral, good game to watch. Quite a few mistakes, but the pace was great.
Yeah.
Electrifying. The crowd going crazy. Again, Pizzo sort of kept quiet with a loss.
Mm-hmm.
It's, it could have gone either way, hey, Tex?
I mean, looking at the opportunities that Mamelodi Sundowns missed, you know, I think if Mamelodi Sundowns scored one, we could have seen a totally different game.
Yeah.
And I think also Orlando Pirates, the way they started, they never started well. I think they were very vulnerable in terms of the set pieces. They couldn't defend the set pieces very well. If you remember, there was a chance that Andre Ngonga missed.
Yeah, hit the post.
He hit the post as well.
A free header too.
Yeah, header as well. So I think Orlando Pirates, from there on, you know, they had to absorb a little bit of pressure from Mamelodi Sundowns. But then again, you know, in football, like, you need some bit of luck. And it's just one mistake from Mamelodi Sundowns midfield where they were caught in 6 and 7s.
Yeah. Out of place,
you know, and then that one pass that Makaringa slot in. Because if you could check also, that's when Thlompho tried to press Mamela. Maela, who was a left back.
Yeah.
Coming in as an inverted left back, and then Thlompho tried to press him.
Yes.
He pressed wrong because Makaringa was free, and then passed to Makaringa. Makaringa played straight to Maela.
Yeah.
And then from there, Mango will always give you that run. From there, there was a little great finish as well.
Mm-hmm.
Then after that, Orlando Pirates started gaining confidence, you know, started getting into the game also. But in all fairness, if you look the whole game, I think Orlando Pirates, Sundowns created more chances. Mm. Also in the second half, Serino hitting that post again.
Double.
But also I didn't understand how could you be beaten from that distance, especially from that angle.
Yeah.
As a goalkeeper, you get into that.
He can count himself lucky, that's for sure. He's a top keeper, man. Yeah. But I mean, to get beaten from that distance at this level, he wouldn't have been too chuffed with
exactly.
That,
speaking of luck too, I mean, you know, we talk about that Serino shot that came when Pirates was 1-0 up, and after Makaringa decided to show us his skills, show us the moves. Pizzo also had some fun on the sideline because he thought that they could still come back and make him look like an idiot, but lucky to escape. What do you think about the showboating?
Yeah, we chatted briefly about it before the podcast. It's I understand what Pizzo is saying.
Yeah.
If you 3-0 up with 5 minutes to go, sure.
Yeah.
Do it. But you 1-0 up with 35 minutes to go, or maybe 30 minutes to go, whatever it was.
Yeah.
But it's part of PSL, isn't it? It's part of our makeup.
I think it's part of the game, dude. Yeah. I mean, we have seen, it's just that I think we can interpret this very differently. I think at some stage, I think last season we saw when Timbuzwane dribbled past the person that actually, you know, fell so bad that he hit his head on the ground. I think it was in Polokwane at some point. You know, they play that clip over and over again. And then we can come back to Makarinki. He was doing the same things that he was doing yesterday at Maritzburg last season while they were still fighting for relegation. So that shows you that's the type of a player he is.
Yeah.
But then again, I like what his coach said. He said he can't stop it. He doesn't like it. He doesn't condone it, but he can't stop it because even the top players are doing it.
Yeah, I mean, I remember Clive Barker famously told Dr. Kamalo in the tunnel when they played Germany. It must have been 96, just after we won AFCON, or maybe just before, I can't remember. First thing you do when you get the ball is nutmeg someone. Mm. And he did it.
Yeah.
The crowd went ballistic.
Yeah.
And I think we drew 1-1 with Germany. I can't remember back then. But that sort of stated where Bafana was and sort of dictated where the match was going to go.
Yeah.
And that player that he nutmegged was out of the game.
Yeah. Because they hate that. You know, they hate being embarrassed like that. And also we can come back and say Neymar does it every week.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's culture.
Yes, I think what justifies Neymar's thing is because it's backed up by goals.
Yeah. Mm.
So it's just that with Makaringe. Also, you must understand that that's a big crowd. You know, Orlando Stadium was packed. The fans came out. And Orlando Pirates had been struggling, Chief. You know, to get wins, and everybody's been on their backs, you know, and maybe they felt confident yesterday. And Makaringe, maybe what he did was to also, you know, entertain the crowd.
Guys, we're back.
We are back.
Yeah,
you know, there's nothing wrong with that because those are the. I don't think there's at some point you thought, you know, if I get the ball, this is what I'm gonna do. It just happens in the game.
Yeah,
especially when you have that kind of skill. You know, when you see a space, you can do it. I mean, why not? But also the problem is, I'll say, Sean is. Chief, I'm a coach of Zimbali United.
Mm-hmm.
I must focus on my team, comrade.
Yeah.
You know, I shouldn't be worried about what other team is doing. I should be focusing on my team. I think every week in most cases, Pizzo comes out and says something about an opposition player.
Mm.
What else? He should be speaking about his players because none of the opposition coaches speak about Pizzo's players.
Mm.
And I know for a fact that if any coach speaks about Pizzo's player, Pizzo will defend the players.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think what our chosen Zanzibar.
Zanzibar.
Zimbabwe did what he's supposed to do, protecting his players.
Yeah.
I think going forward, I think we should be focusing on our plates. You know, stop looking
what's
at other people.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
I think with Sundowns, I think also it comes with the game, with the motions of the game. Sundowns being dominant for the last couple of years.
Mm.
This year, finding a little bit, you know, problem at least to adjust into their dominance. I think also comes with frustration as well, where you can find such comment. But I think in the nutshell, just football at its own, I think it's important as coaches. I mean, it's an advice, even as players, you need to focus on your own teammates, you
absolutely,
know?
Absolutely, yeah.
Especially for Pizzo, because with Pizzo, my issue is this, is, you know, you're going to throw up, you're going to criticize him for showboating, but then you're going to throw up the 1-0 to the whole crowd.
To the whole crowd. What are you saying?
You're only 1-0 up.
Yeah.
Suggesting that, oh, my team's going to come back and we're going to make you look like fools. So that's still kind of playing into the whole crowd atmosphere. You know, playing to the
look,
crowd.
Look, I'm all for this, Teko. Don't get me wrong. I'm all for Pizzo doing this, Makaringa doing this. It just adds, you know, the PSL has lacked this bit of excitement over the last few years, and finally there's a bit of spark, there's some engagements. Last night was a pleasure to watch.
Of course.
Do you know what I mean?
And on top of that, we should allow players to enjoy the game. We
yes.
always preach about
express
players
yourself.
Enjoying the game. So let them do that.
Yeah.
But also you as a coach, you'll be throwing the sign that 1-0, you know, you 1-0, and then you come back and say the player's disrespectful. What are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you actually condoning what you're doing? What you're doing you think is respectful to others? Because you're doing that to Pirates fans.
Yeah.
So what if something happens with the Pirates fans that started being on the pitch or started throwing stuff?
Mm.
So what's going to happen? So those are the kind of things that, you know, we don't need to play in gray areas. So you can't give and don't expect to get as well. So if he's giving, you know, stick to Makaringa and all that stuff, he needs to receive it as well.
Yeah.
That's it.
Definitely. And the truth of the matter is, if Sundowns score then we're looking at Makerenge going, ha, what were you doing?
Yeah, so, exactly.
It's a different conversation.
Hey, Makerenge, you must do it again.
Yeah, please.
And in the other match last night, we had Wits versus Bloemfontein Celtic.
Yeah.
Entertaining one. Five-goal thriller.
Entertaining game. I think Wits defensively weren't great last night to concede those sort of goals.
Mm-hmm.
But to come back, I think it was in a space of like 8 or 9 minutes. Eh? Mm. To score two or three goals was I think Gavin Hunt will be very, very happy. I don't want to go too much into this game, but a very important result for Wits being at home as well, chasing the league.
Yeah.
Bloem Celtic, they were coming off, I think, two games on the trot winning. Mm-hmm. Good team, eh?
Yeah.
Bloem Celtic are very well structured.
I think what I like about Celtic is what Hlonolo Siema is doing as a coach. I think the understanding with him and the players, you know, because the players are playing with so much fluidity in their games. They're playing with so much freedom as well in their games. And you could see, man, you know, they're enjoying themselves and they understand the coach.
Mm.
And sometimes it's those simple instructions that actually, you know, are very understood very quickly and adjusted to.
Quite a young team as well.
It's like quite a young team as well. And the technical team is very humble themselves as well. So with that, you find young players that actually play like that. We can, we are the ones to prove to everybody that they can play. And these are players that for no big names, no nothing.
Yeah.
And they come out week in, week out, displaying the type of, even when Celtic lose, they always play this way.
Mm-hmm.
You see how the way they created those chances, the way they scored.
Yeah.
You know, they were dribbling people inside the box. Mm. You hardly see that. You hardly see that on top teams in the country. And for them to actually continue playing like that with less resources, with less players, with, you know, it's amazing.
The problem is now they're going to have even less resources because now they've come out and said, well, we can no longer play our home games in Bloemfontein.
Yeah.
And now they're moving to PE, it seems.
Yes.
Wow. So are they going to use the bus? Because Bloemfontein Celtics, wherever they go, they use a bus. Hey, they're going to be bus legged.
They got to be training in Eastern Cape from now because the situation has them at Nelson Mandela Bay Stadium until they can sort out. They said that it's the pitch and facilities that have been complained about at their home stadium. And so I was like, you know what, let's call a fan. And we managed to get a gentleman by the name of Station. And he had some very strong opinions about this also. Hi there. How are you doing, Station?
I'm well and you, brother.
All good, all good. So I have it right. You're a member of the Bloemfontein Celtic Supporters Club, right?
Yes.
So I wanted to ask about the situation regarding their home pitch and what you've heard about it. So currently they say that they're going to be playing at Nelson Mandela Bay Stadium. What does this mean for Bloemfontein Celtic supporters?
Yeah, that's what the instruction that has been given to us, unfortunately, you could see the media briefing has never been.
Yes.
And I believe as the Bloemfontein Celtic supporters, you have never been called to come and be told like officially, as it is the tradition of Celtic before making any decision regarding the team and the supporters. Normally, they come and address us officially first before they could go and release any media statement to come and hear our opinion. But on this instance, we could tell there is a, I don't know whether there's a disparation or is a disrespect to us, the supporters, or maybe it is the selfishness of the management, because if you could tell, it has been said before, that there are those people who want to buy Celtic, and those guys are based in PE. So then you come and ask yourself, is it those people trying to push their mandate, or is it the real issue of the document to standard or what? Because I mean, if there was an alternative to be taken, we know the alternative that we've got is a Christie Stadium.
Mm.
We've got the Botshabelo Stadium, Kriger Subotel. So then you ask yourself, I mean, if it is in the trust of the team and of the supporters, why are you taking the game so far? How many? It's like almost the away games for Bloemfontein Celtic Football Club, because most of our supporters are based in Christie, and those are the unemployed people who are only trying by all means by selling veggies and selling things on the streets And because of the love they've got for the team, they can do whatever it takes for them to go and support the green and white nation. But I mean, for the supporter, I mean, for the management to come and do this to us, really, 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 it is so selfish and uncalled for, because we believe it is so disrespectful. And we've been trying to ask for a meeting.
And they haven't given you a meeting?
No, no. The management doesn't want to meet with the supporters. And they are actually, it's like now lately, they are disregarding us. They are saying because since they remove our supporters' license from the office, which is William Malebo, we've been trying to intervene with that. They are not giving us any ear. They are disrespecting us. And you could tell there is a mandate, or there is a intention of maybe selling the Bloemfontein Football Club to those people who are having interest in PE before. Because it was us, the supporters, who came in here, but this can't happen.
No, I understand, and it's terrible to hear, but thank you so much for joining me just to give us some background and some comments, because all we've heard is, the official media release from Bloem Celtic. We haven't heard from the fans.
It is our time. The administrators and the owners of the team start to take us into consideration and take us serious, because we know it is their team, but it is us, somehow, we are playing a very vital role. And maybe we could come up with an alternative, with a very good plan. We love Bloemfontein Celtic. We can't sabotage. It will be like sabotaging ourselves, but taking the game away from the supporters. I mean, it doesn't make business sense. I mean, if you come and tell your business to me, but when I have to come and back me, what is that?
Yeah, no, I understand. But thank you so much for sharing, my brother.
Thank you. Thank you, my brother.
So, strong words.
Sure. Someone's not happy.
Yeah. And I can understand why, I mean, moving a team from a city to a completely different province now.
So I call bull,
right?
About the stadium being unplayable. There's obviously some financial gain here.
Yeah. And I mean, I spoke to you before the show about it. There was another pitch in the Telkom Knockouts. I think it was semifinals,
yeah,
where it was raining and the pitch just completely fell apart. But that wasn't Celtic.
There's also other pitches in Bloem.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he mentioned this Free State Stadium,
Botshabelo Stadium, but Botshabelo Stadium is very small, and I don't even remember the last time Bloemfontein Celtics actually used the stadium, because I actually played there with Mamelodi Sundowns, but it was years ago. I don't know the condition of the stadium as well. But also, you're looking at it from a business point of view, if really it is financial gain, Celtics have been struggling financially. So as a businessman, because at the end of the day, I understand the supporters'
it
frustration.
It is a business.
It's business.
Yeah.
You understand what I mean? Because you the same supporter, you're going to be complaining when the team is no longer on the PSL, because now you won't have a chance to actually come and watch Pirates, Sundowns and Chiefs come into Bloemfontein, because the status is gone, or there's no players because you can't play the players. So I think it's one of those emotional situations for supporters, yes, but for a team, it's business. And if it's a business that makes sense and the team actually benefits from it, even if it's for a short period of time to fix their own issues, why not?
Mm.
You know, just my opinion.
Mm. I'll say this, it's very rare that a PSL team changes ownership and or naming or the stadium. It's usually NFD or GLAD Africa Championship teams or lower who kind of get broken up and then reformed as something else. We saw, I think, with Cape Town City, that was the case, but they weren't in the PSL at the time.
So this gentleman was talking about the people that want to buy Bloem Celtic from PE.
Yeah.
So that's news to me.
And so what's interesting is, do we now say that PE Celtic is a possibility?
Yeah, there will obviously have to be a name change, right?
Nigga, you have to say PE Celtic. I mean, really? Sure, there's a better name for that.
Yeah, but I mean, what do you make of that? Do you think that Celtic will then lose the history that they've built up over time if they just change
but
cities,
Luke,
and change
ownership?
But
also need to look at this, like, for the last past 5 years, there's always been rumors every year about Celtics being sold to Sbanban. So it's an ongoing conversation. Clearly, for the last couple of years, Celtics has been struggling financially. Mm. And for them to actually be in a position to compete for anything within the league, they need to be able to be paying players and signing good players.
Yeah.
And they need to get some money at some point. So if maybe there's no revenues that it can get in Free State, and you, the club owner, that's using your own money, You know, you sometimes you're going to be selfish, irrespective of the history of the team and the relationship that they have with the supporters. Because at the end of the day, the supporters are there. Even though they're selling tomatoes, whatever the case might be in the street, you come and support the team. That's great. But at the end of the day, they're going home. You're the one that's as owner of the team, you know, looking at your desk. There's so much debt that needs to pay. But because you're trying to please so many people, you can't run the team like that. So you need to find financial backup for you to actually to be able to compete in the league. If there's no money, that's why small teams that has no money, that's why they're in and out of the league, because there's no money. You can't buy good players. So you need to have financial muscle behind you so that you're able to sustain the status.
But absolutely.
Educate someone of football ignorance like myself. Sure, Bloemfontein Celtic is not a Kaizer Chiefs, Orlando Pirates, Sundowns, but from the outside perspective, from what I've seen, they have a very loyal fan base. How is it that they don't have money? Those fans are coming to the stadium. Yes, the tickets aren't expensive, but their fans support them, right? And is it just that they've done that badly in the PSL? Yeah, or is it mismanagement?
It doesn't, of course, it's all the above. It's also, I think, MTN pullout.
Yeah, every sponsor that they've ever had. Massive,
the money comes from the sponsors. Not so much, obviously, the TV rights as well, but the money to pay the players comes from the sponsors, which they don't have.
And also for the TV rights, also to get that kind of money, if you're in form, and then at least you got an advantage that your games are going to be shown on TV for, you know, certain games, and then also you get in some kind of money. But with the Bloemfontein Celtics team, you never guaranteed in the beginning of the season of how many games are going to be live. But you guarantee that Chiefs, Pirates, Sundowns are going to be live, but the rest you're not. So it depends also on the form. So, and it's worse because the sponsors keep pulling out. And with the Bloemfontein Celtics, we can say whatever we want about the supporters, how they support the team, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, Bloemfontein Celtics is a business. So if there's no money, the guy that actually runs the team needs to find some money somewhere. If they can't, and somebody comes with a big check that wants to buy the team, hey, Chief.
We
move on. On Monday morning.
It's live.
And then, Sean, real quick before we move on, the prospect of bringing more football to the Eastern Cape now. Do you think that that's positive, or because I think it's Chipper United down there?
Yeah, Chipper,
who actually look like they might survive. They might.
Chief, don't deviate from what you were saying. Jeez. Leave Chipper alone. You're stressing me.
Look, it's good for PE. It's not good for Bloem.
Yes,
true.
That's it. So true. Where someone's gained, someone fails. That's, you know, it's the cruelty of life, unfortunately. Yeah.
Indeed. Moving on, we have 10 quick fire questions. This is where we get your favorite PSL players on the phone and put them on the spot. And this week, Big Sean made the call. Who you got, Shono?
Big dog. We got Bradley Hrubler on form. Bradley Hrubler.
He's on form. Mango. Mango is on form.
He's on fire.
Can you please.
Let's see what he has
to
say.
No, Bradley's on form, but Cabadinho Mango is on form.
Bradley, are you ready for 10 quick fire questions?
Yes.
Funniest guy in the PSL you've played with?
Sean Roberts.
Yes, boy.
You're listening,
worst
my boy.
Worst dressed.
Sean Roberts.
He talks so much.
He's saying best dressed.
He used to come with slops and his vest on.
What about Dean Furman? He's been on a few times saying he's the worst dressed.
No, he's okay.
He's all right.
He's okay. He does all right. Sean Roberts, who comes with a pair of flops and a vest on to training?
I do, boy. Worst mistake in a match?
Give it to myself. Did you see my miss on the weekend?
Yeah, I did. It was a perler.
It was the worst miss of my career, so I'll happily claim that. If I was watching that game, I wouldn't select myself for another team.
Teammate who thinks he's funny, but he's actually not.
Jamie Webber.
Best footballing memory?
Making my debut for Bafana and scoring. Dan Zim.
Best goal in a match?
Was a non-televised game when I scored a hat-trick against Black Aces. Was a chest turn-in volley from outside the box.
A non-televised. Are you sure this actually exists? Okay, I had to follow up with that. Favorite car?
Rolls-Royce Wraith.
Favorite local food? Local food.
Anything to do with a bra.
Okay. Your favorite holiday destination? I know this one, but anyway.
No doubt, Kruger National Park.
Flashiest dresser, last one.
Between Thabo Mnyamani and Aubrey. I like to come every now and then with a very unusual set of clothes.
All right, my boy. Good luck against, when's the next game? Sundowns, eh?
Sundowns, yeah. Sunday.
Good luck, bud. We'll chat soon.
Thanks a lot.
Nice. Confirmation, Sean is the worst dressed.
But the funniest. I'll take it.
But the funniest.
I'll take it.
Maybe they're laughing at the way you dress.
Yeah. Clownish.
So they're combining those two.
I'll take it, guys.
Very nice. Also proper local food.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no spaghetti and meatballs and
McDonald's.
Thank you, Bradley. Thank you.
That's fantastic. And next we have the situation regarding Tukelo Ranti. So we all know it's very unfortunate. Talented player, but his career teetering now. Sundowns are the latest team to release him. So what we did is we got Clinton Gavila. He's a sports and health psychologist. And we got him to discuss the psychology behind elite level sports stars like Tukelo and what can go wrong. So take a listen.
So when we think of psychology, we often think of it in terms of solving problems, helping people who are functioning below normal, starting to function more normally. But in fact, that's just one part of psychology. There's another whole aspect of psychology which deals with absolutely normal people and helping them to make things even better. And obviously, sport and performance psychology forms a part of that. So in sport, we're dealing with people who on the whole are mentally absolutely fine and normal. And in fact, many of them are in fact doing better than average. But the nature of elite sport is that we are constantly looking for anything little, any little bit extra to make it even better. Because you might be very talented physically and technically, but at some point you get to a level where everyone's talented physically and technically, and that's when the psychology stuff can make all the difference. As you say, at the top level, we often get a scenario where young players are catapulted into a life situation where they have more than other people of their age would normally have, and access to more things. And so it's almost like you get a shortcut sometimes, and whether that's money or to meeting people or relationships, etc., etc. And it can be dangerous if one's emotional readiness for that isn't on par with what's happening around you. And I do think, yes, that's why we do see quite a lot of problems and unfortunate things like people, like car crashes related to alcohol, etc. So it is a problem. And yes, I think psychology does have a role to play in helping prevent things like that. Unfortunately, in this country, in sport, when we talk of psychology, people often think of it as a last resort. So, I mean, what is interesting, though, over the years, people have started talking more and more about psychology, but when it actually comes to budgeting time, money, etc., then often it's the last resort. And once we've tried everything to deal with this problem, then we'll think, well, maybe a psychologist can help. Whereas actually, ideally, sports psychology should be used proactively, just like you learn everything else, you know, at the academy level, etc. We should just be putting the basics in place for mental skills training, coping with pressure on the field, but actually also off the field. And these are skills which can be learned. Do the clubs have a responsibility towards providing such service? It's an interesting one, because I'm not sure responsibility is the right word. I mean, in some senses, yeah, I want to answer yes. I do what I do because I believe that psychology can make a difference, and I've seen that. But maybe the club shouldn't think of it as a responsibility as much as actually an investment, both in their players off the pitch, but ultimately, if you don't have strong, capable individuals off the pitch, you're much less likely to get the performance you want on a consistent basis on the pitch. So it's very hard to distinguish between performance on the pitch and the off the pitch stuff. So the two really do go hand in hand. So I don't think it's just a responsibility. I think it's actually a wise investment. I had a conversation actually yesterday about maybe there should be more South African players overseas, and why is that not the case? And I do think it's got to do with similar things. I think sometimes South Africans don't grow up in circumstances where they get taught and they have role models that show them the importance of having a vision on the one hand, but secondly, also how to be proactive to drive towards making that vision a reality. And maybe thirdly, they don't grow up in an environment where they develop trust and confidence in their own ability to make these things happen. And I do think sometimes that makes it more difficult for them to cope with pressure. And that's probably also why we don't have as many South African players in the overseas leagues as I think we potentially could have.
So as three individuals who've been elite level athletes, I think we can all agree that he's saying some interesting things there, though. And it speaks to not only to Galoranti, but a lot of other PSL players from the past.
Yeah, I know Clinton. I used to see him, you know, three out of my 8 years at Ajax.
Mm-hmm.
And he does add value. And I think it's a massive part of one's career. And what I do like what he said is that clubs shouldn't see it as their responsibility, but as an investment into their players. And I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
You know, and we've spoken about at length that our players after retiring and they go missing and they're too scared to talk about, you know, their life and this and that. But this sort of falls under the same category where you talk about psychology, you think, oh, he's weak. Mm. He's mentally weak. How can he go see a psychologist? Where I think everybody should be seeing some sort of life coach or psychologist. And I think in Tokelo's instance here as well, it's obviously very psychological where what has gone wrong and why he's sort of been led off the path. Tex, your take on this, bud?
Hey,
it's a big one.
It is.
Did you ever see a psychologist or life coach?
Yeah, I have. Yeah. I have before. Sorry. Where's the water?
Telemans,
your
food.
Yeah.
You're
off. Look, I, you know, in this sport, you know, there's lows and there's lows.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of your lows, you'll go to, you know, your lack of form, your lack of confidence, your lack of drive, those type of things, your lack of interest in the game.
Yeah.
And your lows, my friend, is when you're dealing with your inner demons, like nobody knows about them. You know, once the game is finished, you wish that you don't go home, you know, and you know, you sometimes you find a player that is so good, but he can't find a team. You know, you're failing to understand what's the reason why he's so talented. Those are your lows, comrades. That's when you start seeing who's really, really for you, because now everybody, you know, you start seeing the numbers are getting less and less and less of people around you. And that's the situation you don't want to find yourself in. But also what's important is...
That situation is probably where Tokelo...
That's where he is right now. And it just the problem also is when I was... Not in a similar situation that it is right now, but when I was dealing with my own demons at the time, I surrounded myself with bad people as well. People that couldn't tell me anything.
Makes it worse.
You know, it made it worse. Until, you know, some sense got into me. Like, dude, you are the breadwinner. So these guys, you get them chicks. You buy them booze, you buy them condoms, chief, you're actually sleeping at your house.
Yeah.
So you're providing everything for these guys and there's nothing that they won't even wake you up to go to training.
Yeah.
And I realized that, you know what, if I continue this path, I'm actually going to be exactly like them because what was scary was the guys that they were my friends at the time, they were thinking that...
Are they still your friends?
No chance. No, they thought that they supposed to be the position where I was because they were footballers as well. Mm. So they think, you know, we should be living this life because when I was around, they were doing things that I was doing. I'll be in the national team camp, but they'll be driving the cars and they'll scratch the cars. They'll wear my clothes, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So I'll get calls like, hey, chief, we see, aren't you in camp? Because what are you doing? It's this and this place. I'm like, dude, I'm in camp.
Mm.
Like, no, we see your car here. Mm. And at that time, they don't even call you to actually tell you that they're going to drive your car.
Great,
you know, the decency.
There.
And also sometimes because you're living in an estate, you know, when there's a noise, the security will call in.
Mm.
They'll call me, like, chief, can you please lower the volume? Chief, I'm in camp. We're doing video session there. We're doing video analysis. I'm getting calls from the security to lower the volume. Yeah. And whenever I call them back, they don't pick up because they know what the issue is.
Yeah.
Then I realize that, guys, you know, I'm actually setting myself up.
Bet.
And I think it's a case where it's very common in the PSL with our players as well, because what kills us is we're so loyal to people that actually done nothing for us, but they just gave you a piece of bread.
Mm-hmm.
We're not loyal to people that actually help us to grow as people. We're just loyal to people that are our runners for this thing. We know every guy, I think, in the PSL that is so-called.
That's why it's so important to surround yourself.
Yeah. So you always have a runner, a person that actually go buy ice for you, go buy booze for you. You know, we always have those kind of people. So we're loyal to those people, but they're not bringing any growth. They're not bringing any
anything to you.
Yeah.
Exactly. We have those kind of guys. And most of the time, when you find similar cases, cases like this, it's always, there's always somebody that the person that is a victim is so loyal to. And I think that's the problem that we as guys as well, and also the problem is our culture, we were taught not to speak about our problems. We don't speak about depression in football, and it happens.
You look weak.
I think without disrespecting Tukelo, I think Tukelo's booze issue is just a cover up of a bigger issue that is deeper than that. And if he can deal with that issue first, the booze will go away, because he's trying to hide. I was doing that. I was trying to hide my issues with my booze, because I was like, guys, I mean, I need to do something about this. But the only thing that actually could make sense, that was making sense to me at the time, was my constant visit to Tops. Tops was my best friend. I would walk into Tops. Hey, comrade.
Hello, Taco.
Hello.
The usual, sir.
Yeah, the usual. So I'll get those things. And but I never dealt with the issue. And it affected my 2 years of playing because I wasn't actually dealing with the issue itself. I wasn't fighting enough for the issue to be resolved. I thought that it would resolve on its own, and it never did. And it killed my career. Luckily, I got a chance at Sundowns where I revived myself, and then the rest is history. But I think with Tukelo's case is we cannot ignore the situation because there's so many players that are going through the same thing right now. That
this player is reading this saying,
this is me.
100%.
This is
me. But I've still got a job.
It's just that the advantage is they're able to wake up in the morning and go to training.
Correct. Mm.
But the disadvantage is that's why we don't see the consistent performance week in, week out.
Correct.
You see,
their
so this is the biggest
the reason
issue.
Why they're not playing overseas.
I think also what we need to also speak about, Sean, is, guys, it's okay to drink. Footballers drink. We know. It's not a secret anymore. Mm. Footballers drink. Even the ones who played before us, trust me, they were drinking cheap stuff that will make them not to perform to the best of their abilities. But I think that the problem is the amount of intake that we're doing. You know, we're training Monday to Friday. We're playing on a Saturday. We're off Sunday. We're killing ourselves on Sunday. Monday, we're back to training because we want to cover the whole week of non-drinking. Not understanding that, guys, you can have a glass of wine every single day.
I was about to say,
and still
everything in moderation.
Exactly, and still be and still perform.
Yeah, and also not use drinking as a coping mechanism, but rather as just a celebratory thing. An accomplishment-based system where I'm not drinking just to cope.
Tina, chief, our culture, we drink celebration. We are crying. We drink. Any emotion, my friend, we drink.
There's a funeral there
after burying that person, bring the drink, we drink. We do every emotion that we're going through, we're using alcohol. And also, we grew up like that. We grew up seeing our parents doing that. So whenever we're in a position now where we can buy our own booze and nobody can tell me anything, you cannot tell me not to drink. I've got a job. I'll tell you, you know what I'll tell you? Because of you, a yes man, you'll tell me, hey, chief, you're playing Sundowns over the weekend. Are you the one who's playing?
Yeah.
Go buy me a gin and tonic and then stop talking too much.
Yeah.
Because of you also, you also want to be my friend because everybody knows that you're my friend. You want to still be there wherever I go. Yeah. You want to go and buy those without telling me the responsibility that I have.
Yeah.
But it also comes back when you're 32, 33 year old. Now, this is actually the period where you're supposed to get your big contract or your last big contract. You don't. And you look at those guys, the very same guys that you were with. They're the ones who are talking about you. But don't tell me about Sean. Sean was useless.
Yeah.
We're telling him to go to training, but he was not.
Yeah, yeah.
Lying. They never told you anything.
So in a nutshell, can Tukelo bounce back?
It's up to him.
He's 29.
He's 29 years old. He's got seven years left in him.
What is going through for him to bounce back, it needs... I needs to humble himself and go through the situation that he's dealing with and give himself time.
And who should help
build
him?
And build the character? I think
because he's obviously not. I wouldn't say prepared. He's obviously not in the state to help himself or wanting to help himself. So who needs to take responsibility to help him? Because he's a hell of a talent.
Yeah, it needs to be a club that has the facilities. You know, someone
is
who...
Is it a club? Because they've tried.
You know, guys, let's not sugarcoat this thing, please. I love Tukelo, and I was happy when he was a captain. I wish that he could play and help us.
Yeah.
You know, I was very excited thinking that I would be able to play with Tukelo. But at the end of the day, he's the one that made all those decisions.
Correct.
Where he is right now. So I think the only person that can help him is himself. But now for him to actually be in that position to help him, so he needs to realize, he needs to say, guys, I need help.
I've got a problem,
I've got a problem. But if he's in denial, nobody, we can try everything. We can we can carry him to a rehabilitation center. If he's not ready to be helped, he will never be helped.
Yeah. And so he needs to say what, I mean, he's been featured in the latest edition of the Sokola Duma newspaper. His mentor actually reached out to the team here. He said that TK sent him a long SMS saying that he's embarrassed and that he needs someone in his life like a father figure, like Farouk, who is at the Stars of Africa Academy. And so it looks like he's trying to reach out for help. But I think he just needs to be a little bit more proactive about that. You know, he's 29, but that doesn't mean that he's got forever to fix this. You know, he'll need to...
He's at his prime, just to conclude.
My issue is with this mental stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think this mental, we need to define this because he left Cape Town City for the same reason.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm a mentor, I would have helped him then.
Mm.
I wouldn't wait for it to be so publicized and so spoken about and then come out and say, I'm a mentor, I'm going to help him with.
Yeah.
Cape Town City is a very small team.
Sure.
He could have helped him here.
Good
he
point.
Went on without having a team for almost 6 to 7 months.
Mm.
Where was the mentor? So now you come out and say to the media, like, he sent me a long SMS. Come on, chief.
Mm.
Help the guy. If you want to help the guy, help the guy. But you could have started way earlier when you realized that if you're a mentor, you should have known what is happening with your boy. If you didn't know what's happening with your boy, you're not a mentor. You're just a fan. It's just like me. So stop saying you're a mentor.
Good Farouk point.
Can't stop saying you're a mentor because if you're a mentor, you'd have taken responsibility when Tukelo was still playing for Cape Town City.
Damn!
Points have been made. All right, so our next feature is called Poll Position. We ask a question on our Facebook, on the Sokola Duma page. Follow us. And we ask you to send in voice notes and conduct a bit of a mini poll. So this week's question is about Rulani Mokoena, the now assistant coach.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Remember the coach of Pirates?
I'm kidding. Man. That's my coach.
He's the now absent assistant coach. I think he's in the UK right now. Doing some education stuff.
Yes. But,
yeah.
I think they're Liverpool, actually.
Yeah, yeah. So the question is,
my guy,
should he stay at Bucks and continue to build experience there, or should he move on and find a new club and prove himself as a head coach? We know last week that our man Deco over here said, no, find someone new, get out of there.
I agree.
But let's hear what the fans have to say.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think the guy must be allowed to stay. His character is not good for us. I think he'll destroy us.
You know, that guy must go because he's selfish. He couldn't deliver results.
He must move to find another club. I don't think that's a good idea to bring him back. That guy got pride. He don't want to listen. He do what he wanted.
He's still young. He still needs to learn. He still has some experience to gain. With regards to that, I would love to see him continuing to be an assistant. But I don't think he's got the experience to take over head coaching post.
Rulani Mokoena must remain as an assistant coach at Pirates. This guy must humble himself and come and work for Orlando Pirates instead of being arrogant.
So, I didn't expect them...
I'm just looking at Tekka's face, man.
The reaction's
beautiful, eh?
No, defend Rulani any day.
Yeah. I didn't expect the angle... So, a lot of Pirates fans still mad about the poor form at the beginning of the season.
Sure. Yeah.
I didn't expect...
And that's fair.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they've turned around now.
It's fair to be mad as a fan. But what I'm saying is, if they're saying he's inexperienced to be a head coach of Orlando Pirates, is my question is, every coach starts being inexperienced at some point.
Mm.
They took Pep Guardiola from the reserve side. He went on to coach the senior team and he won everything. Now Pep Guardiola is the best coach ever
in the whole world.
Exactly. So what I'm saying is I know for a fact that he was coaching a team that their supporters, they are very, 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 very stubborn and they love their team.
Mm.
Orlando Pirates supporters,
you would know.
They're very demanding and yeah. I know that. And for them to feel the way that they feel, I understand. But let the man be.
Mm.
You know, let's not put age onto his coaching abilities. I think what makes everybody to undermine him as a coach and his skills as a coach is because of his age. Because every time when somebody speaks about Rulani, they speak about his age. They don't speak about his qualities as a coach. He coached me. I'll tell you, Rulani is f***ing good.
Mm.
And for the fact that I'm saying that, I'm backing it up because I know we won Champions League with Rolando being on the bench. We won so many things at Mamelodi Sundowns with Rolando being on the bench. You can ask Bongani Zungu right now that is playing international football. You can ask Percy Tauna that is playing international football how good Rolando is. Yeah. It's just that now when you're looking from an outside, you're looking at a 32-year-old Umfana Leon.
So do you think he left Sundowns too early?
You know, I think he left at the right time.
Okay.
Because the stuff that he was making us do, I think it was way more advanced. And I thought if you can find the right team, younger ones, and grow with them, he can
be the next best thing. So maybe Pirates was the incorrect choice at that stage of his life.
But how would you know without trying?
Sure.
They didn't finish. Even the guy that is saying Rolani was arrogant and whatever the case may be, wherever he works, if he's been given a promotion, whether he qualifies or not, whether he's got an experience, he'll take it
for sure. Mm.
So that's what happened with Rolando. Why can't we look at it that way? Why we always have to speak about Rolando being arrogant? We speak about Rolando's age. I love Rolando. Yeah, yeah. I don't arrogant with what? Rolando's got trophies.
Yeah.
Rolando's got medals to prove that he has won something.
Mm. Yeah.
So what do you want him to do? You want him to be like what? To be a coach that sits there that looks like he's cold and whatever the case may be. Rolando's a self confident guy. Just because he's 32, that's an issue. That's South Africa. Everything, even with players as well. Mm. You find a player when he reaches 33, they say he's old. They're not looking at how you perform. Why suddenly South Africa becomes an issue? I think if Ronaldo was playing in South Africa, you'd have long time retired.
Mm. Also, funnily enough, when they're young, I've had this issue. Every publication that covers local football, player will be 24 years old. We're still calling him youngster.
They still call him youngster.
I'm like,
I was called a youngster when I was 25.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I was a youngster. It still is in South Africa. They're still calling 23-year-old, 24-year-old a youngster. Then what do you call the 18-year-old?
23, 24 should be full international.
Yeah, yeah.
100 caps or
and
whatever.
27, 28, you should be at your peak.
Absolutely.
And if you're not at your peak at a PSL player, 28, 29, hey, chief, you're in problem.
Rashford is 22.
It's ridiculous. It feels like he's been around for 20 years.
Yeah, exactly.
It's unbelievable.
So, I think this age thing of Rolando must just let it go. I understand that he never performed with the Orlando Pirates. That's cool. Let's let it go. Let Rolando be the man that makes his own decision. He's a great coach. And he will grow being a great coach.
I agree with
finish
you.
Finish and clear.
And he should.
Thank you, Teko.
Yeah, he should follow his destiny.
Very emotional.
We can all agree Rolani should follow his destiny.
Very emotional.
And take charge at Chipper United. But moving on.
What?
Teko's emotional.
Nah, today I'm very emotional.
Tired.
Moving on.
I've got
this week in history. Got a few good ones here. So on the 13th of January, back in 1907, Juventus and Torino contested the first Derby della Mole, with Torino winning later 2-1.
That sounds like a wine.
It does, eh?
Della Mole.
Yeah, I got that new Torino blend. The Della Mole collection. Since then, they've played 237 more derbies. Juventus have won 102. On the 16th of January 2010, Lionel Messi scored his 100th goal for Barcelona, becoming the youngest player in the club history to do that. He was 22 at the time. And in the 10 years since, he's gone on to score over 500 more goals. So a monster statistic.
No. Wow, it's unfair. No, it's crazy.
Life is not fair, Teko.
No, it's not.
Also, on this day in 2002, Gianfranco Zola scored a remarkable backheeled goal as Chelsea rolled over Norwich.
Yeah,
remember this
that
one?
Goal, yeah.
Chelsea manager Claudio Ranieri later described the goal as fantasy and magic while referring to Zola himself as a wizard. And he said, "Don't ask me how he did it because I don't even know." And so my question to you guys is this. What is the greatest goal you have ever seen in your life?
I can tell you.
Which one?
Dennis Bergkamp.
Yeah, that's crazy. I think I see a few.
Do you remember that little flick?
That little
Yeah. You reminded me of me at training. Yeah.
I've seen a couple. I think that one, Dennis Bergkamp. I think, is it Al Pacino? The Italian guy that was captain. I think it was Southampton.
Mm-hmm.
He scored like a volley, It was typical volley.
Yes.
And also the Terry Henry goal against Manchester United.
Classic one.
The one that he flicked, that he turned and
shot. Even Ryan Giggs.
Yeah.
Remember Ryan Giggs when he dribbled the whole of Arsenal?
And all Steven Gerrard's goals.
Yeah.
All Steven Gerrard's goals. All Frank Lampard's goals.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many. I think there's so many.
Curveball. I don't know if you've ever heard of this guy, but I think he was also Southampton. Matt Letizia.
Oh, yeah, what a goal, man. What about Eric Cantona's chip?
Yes. With his free kicks, my friend.
Oh,
he would hit. I remember the one where he just two players passed, and then Matt Letizia just flicked it in the air, almost no backlift volley top.
I was like, that was a player.
He's got a face for radio, that guy. He's definitely like, part of my World Ugly 11 team.
Looked like a hunchback of Notre Dame.
Hey, don't forget the Messi goal.
Oh, yes, from
Champions League when he destroyed Boateng. Yes. He ended Boateng's career. So
I remember all of the memes after
Boateng
that.
Boateng being a top defender in the world, he became hallelujah.
He was a joke immediately because he just fell. It looked like his legs locked
and then
up.
And before the game, Manuel Neuer was saying he'll stop Messi, blah, blah, blah. Messi chipped him with his weaker foot.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Messi said, oh, you thought.
then you want to talk Ronaldo. We chip,
yeah.
We don't do shit of kicks. We chip.
Moral of the story is don't make Messi angry.
Yeah.
Or don't play football because you get Messi.
Throwback to last week.
Last week's joke. Anyway, tough crowd. Right, let's get into our players abroad. Always nice to connect with what's happening with our boys overseas.
Yes.
Pula Ekstein, not too great. Released by Sabah FC in Azerbaijan. Only 11 starts. What happened there, Tech? What do you know?
I wish I knew.
Good chat, bro. Moving on.
I wish I knew.
What's this guy doing, actually?
I don't even know where the country is. Where's Azerbaijan?
It's in between.
Which
Europe.
Flight do you take? You tell me now.
Where do I go?
Yes, from here to Cape Town to Abidjan.
Cape Town to Joburg, Joburg to Addis Ababa, which is in Ethiopia.
Yeah.
Addis Ababa to Azerbaijan. Say sorry.
Where is Azerbaijan?
Say sorry.
Sean,
I'm sorry.
Which continent?
I'm moving on.
It's in between.
Which continent?
It's in between Europe and the Middle East.
So I must know in between stuff. No. I don't know in between. We're never taught in between stuff.
Very emotional today, huh?
I would just like to...
Azerbaijan. I don't know where the
get this man a bells.
Nah, I don't know.
I'd like to apologize to the citizens of Azerbaijan for this section of the podcast.
At least we know Deco's favorite holiday destination.
It's not Azerbaijan.
And I'm sure many people don't know. I don't know, guys, where that is. I don't want to lie. So I know where Paris is, though.
Paris and Singapore.
Yeah. I know where Pesitao plays, though.
Oh, okay.
I know where Bongani Zungu plays. Yep.
He's on ya.
All right.
Talking about Bongani, was sent off on Wednesday's 2-0 French League Cup away loss to Lille.
Damn.
He has 8 starts this season.
Yeah, he made news.
Good boy. Darren Keat came off after 60 minutes with an injury. I did manage to speak to him. It's just his neck injury. 3-2 win for them. He'll be back next game.
That's good.
Kamohelo Mokgotso came on after 75 minutes on Saturday's 3-1 home win over QPR. And Tulani Serrero played in Friday's 2-2 home League Cup draw with Shabab Al Ahly.
Yes. And there's also another thing. Our boy Lars Feltvik.
Yeah.
He just signed to
the South Korean team, huh?
Yes. I think it's Hyundai FC. I think they have the full
say
name,
that.
Right?
Say that when you're drinking, my boy.
Yeah.
Hyundai FC.
He's joining. He's joining the champions of that league, which is I think a big
move money move, eh?
Yeah,
good
and
boy.
If I'm not mistaken, that team at the FIFA Club World Cup years ago beat Sundowns. If I'm not mistaken,
I remember going to
Japan.
South Korea. Yeah,
South Korea.
In South Korea.
We went to
Where? Sundowns.
I was there.
It would have only been Sundowns who would have made it to the Club World
Cup. Yeah, we're in Japan. So why are you saying it's in...
Was it Japan?
Yeah.
Oh, no. We went to South Korea in 2005 for a preseason tour.
We didn't even see the ball.
I see.
No, it's true.
I need to go into the Soccer Life Duma article. Ball.
We looked for it.
Slew, are you making shit up?
It's on our website.
Okay. That's when you can't be making shit up.
They said they did something at the Club World Cup involving a South African team. I know that.
No, we got a hiding. We looked for the ball. We were taught the lesson there in Japan.
Dang.
I can promise you that. We looked for the ball and it was cold. So yeah.
Good experience there.
And our under-23s are going that side later in the year. So
yeah, best of luck. It's gonna be cold as well. Winter time. Yes.
Lovely.
Lots of ball finding.
A lot of ball finding, chief.
And we have the weekend special now. We have to preview the big games upcoming, both local and internationally. And so we start with the match of the weekend, SuperSport United versus Sundowns. How are you guys feeling about this one? We'll do this one in depth and then we'll get your predictions for the other ones.
Yeah, very interesting game. Mm-hmm. We don't have much time, so we'll get through it quite quickly.
Yeah.
Sundowns coming off a loss, obviously. SuperSport coming off a couple of very good results.
Yeah.
On fire up front. Oh, so are Sundowns in a way. Sure.
Toughie, eh?
It's a toughie. Does he start Jolly with Kakana?
It's...
Old Pizzo Mosimane? What changes would you make if you're Pizzo, Teko, for this weekend's game against
Super Sport? I think if I'm Pizzo, I'll start Hlompho with Mabunda.
Mm.
Me, for the reason is, what if I start Jolly and he doesn't give me what I want, would you substitute him again at the same time that you did?
Yeah.
So you're actually killing the player. So you need to choose your poison at the time.
Yeah.
Mm.
I think with Sundowns, we're going to go back to their regular.
Yeah.
You know, bring back Zwane, bring back Meza.
Yeah.
You know, find speed there, maybe try to utilize speed against Daniels and Kikana there at the back. And
possibly bring back Aronson in the central defense.
In the center back as well to deal with Gabuza and Krobler aerially. Mm-hmm. We're going to see the normal Sundowns lineup, because one thing I know about Pizzo is that he wouldn't want to lose two games in a row because he still wants to win the league as well.
Mm-hmm.
So he's probably looking at this fixture as, you know, it's I've won so many games against SuperSport, mm-hmm. so maybe I might add one of those into this. And SuperSport we've been beaten so many times by Mamelodi the Sundowns. Mm-hmm. This is our chance. But now the question is, will Sundowns bounce back after the loss?
Yeah.
You know, it's a big loss. You know, we can't downplay it. It's a big loss. But then how do you bounce back? But with the experience that they have, we'll see. I think this is actually the time where Sundowns is very tested.
Yeah.
And
this is going to show Sundowns balls, whether they have,
mm-hmm.
Which I know they do.
But they Super do. Sport, they
Super
do.
Sport's no pushover, hey?
No, they're not.
Yeah.
They finally found their full swing.
What do they need to do to stop the Sundowns attack?
Well, not concede. Because I do. No, I mean, it's an obvious answer, but not concede, because I do believe Super Sport are going to score.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think if the game, the longer the game goes, I think SuperSport stand the chance.
Yes, agreed.
Because now with Sundowns being this dominant team that always wants to dominate and score first and whatnot, when the game is going long and long, they start opening those gaps because now they started getting frustration in terms of trying to score. So I think the SuperSport are patient and not emotional on the day.
Mm.
They'll find joy.
Absolutely.
They got it. And then, all right, so some quick fire predictions over here. We've got Pirates versus Highlands Park. Shono.
Quickly, Pirates are on a high. They're going to bounce back from, I think they drew last, the first half of the season. Or did they lose to Highlands? That horrible away game. Do you remember?
They won.
Did Pirates win? They won,
yeah, with that big offside.
They won. I'm going for a convincing Pirates win because Highlands got destroyed by Stellenbosch, didn't they?
Yeah.
Last game.
Yeah, child up 4-1.
Stellenbosch gave them
no one got that prediction, right?
Yeah.
No one did. You're right.
Nah, no.
And
even Stellenbosch themselves wouldn't get it right.
You're right. And I'm going for a SuperSport win.
SuperSport win.
I'm going for a Pirates win and SuperSport win.
And you?
Highlands Park Pirates, Pirates for obvious reasons. And the Highlands Park, I think they are very, very tested with also the coaches' issues and all that stuff. I think there's a lot going on in Highlands. And I don't think they've got the right personnel for big game temperament.
Couldn't agree more.
And Gabba will Gabba them. And as for Sundowns and SuperSport, I think I just for football also to make sense again, I think if Sundowns win, they're still in the race there and then makes the whole, you know, top three very interesting. So I'm going for Sundowns, a 1-0 victory.
Definitely. And then we got EPL, Premier League matches. Big, big, big one. Liverpool versus Manchester United.
Why
again,
are you saying it's big?
It's big.
It's just historically a large game.
It's a big game.
All eyes are on that game.
Nah.
Don't be horrible. It's a big game.
We know what's going to happen.
Do we though, Teko?
Yeah.
Hence we're talking
Where's the game? Please?
Yes, it's at Anfield. Okay, I know what you're going to say.
No, there's a lot of Indians that are going to go to the game. Support Manchester United. Come back with a 3-0 loss. I mean, we know what's going to happen.
Look, I mean, United possibly without Rashford. Liverpool with Matip, Lovren and Fabinho back.
Yes.
at home. It's going to be Solskjaer's first trip to Anfield as a manager.
Mm-hmm. And Klopp, has he lost there? Thank you.
Good, I mean, Klopp, I can't even remember when last he lost.
Funny stat. Oh, did he lose? Among the 31 teams Jurgen Klopp has faced 10 or more times during his managerial career, his worst win ratio is against Manchester United.
Interesting. Okay, score lines though.
Ah, 3-0.
Do you like, can I have something for that stat? I think it was pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh, you wanted to clap
him? Just say Sean Waldan or nice to see you doing research.
Thanks.
Just f***ing pitch up here. Anyway, gold star, I'm going for a Liverpool win. Damn it.
Okay, Liverpool win. Jeez. Liverpool win. Yeah, and Liverpool then win. Tuesday the 21st, it's not on the weekend. Both of these teams do play on the weekend, but they face each other on Tuesday. Chelsea versus Arsenal.
Sure.
This is going to be before we're back, so we can make a prediction now. Yes.
Yeah, it's on Tuesday the 21st.
Shouldn't televise.
It's at Chelsea. not worth it, eh?
Oh, the mighty have fallen. Don't televise Chelsea versus Arsenal.
It's going to be a cool London derby. I'm going to go for a boring 1-1 draw.
Yeah, it's going to be a draw.
Gonna be a draw.
Yeah.
I'm also gonna go for a draw just
but
because...
no one asked you, Slew.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. Also, I'm not even supposed to be making predictions.
Just because it's his team.
Just because it's Arsenal. And then okay, cool. Last little issue over here. We'll make this quick. For the big interview, I got Ari Soldatos. He's the SAFA chairman for referee appointments. Oh. There's a couple issues to discuss there. One, there's an issue with match fixing in the GLAAD Africa Championship. We won't touch on that because that's a developing story. But I did also ask him about an issue that we've covered here, and that's refs getting paid full time. And I managed to get a response based on that. With PSL posting record earnings last year, will the average pay for PSL referees increase? And do you think this will incentivize an increase in quality in the match officiating over time?
This monetary related, I don't think that in circumstances where there has been a substandard performance on the part of one or more of our officials, that is in consequence of money or lack thereof. I think genuine mistakes are made from time to time, and I don't believe at the end of the day that the increasing of the remuneration or stipends which may be paid would have a direct effect on the quality of the officiating as such. But what I am a strong proponent of is the introduction of full-time professional refereeing. That, I believe, where an individual can actually get out onto the park on a weekly basis, during the week, whatever the case may be, and undertake his or her duties without the concerns of having to rush back to work, catch an aeroplane to be back at the office or in the factory the next morning and the like. I believe we would then be in a position to actually focus on training, focus on upliftment of our referees, areas of vulnerability, such as what I spoke about a few moments ago with regard to ball watching and the like. And that would have a knock-on effect with regard to the overall product, which would be produced in due course.
So you mentioned that you've been in this position for about 16 years. From your perspective, how long do you think, how far away from a PSL where every single match is refereed by someone who has a refereeing as their full-time job? How long do you think we are from that?
You know, there are various issues which we need to canvas in relation to that. The one being a sponsor, we need to get the financial backing of a proper and suitable sponsor that would be in a position to ensure that these referees are adequately equipped from a financial perspective, from an HR perspective. These individuals would then become employees. Hopefully, all things being equal, and if I had my way, I'd like to see this introduced within the next 3 to 5 years, Luke. But as I say, I'm just the appointments chairperson, so I don't have any jurisdiction in that regard.
So the first question,
thanks, Ari.
First question, I think I got a very political answer, like the, I don't think money will help, but I also support them getting paid full time. But I think the real issue there is 3 to 5 years for these referees to get paid.
No long haul. I just want to ask, is refereeing a different entity or separate entity into the PSL?
Yes. So the referees are run by SAFA. The PSL and SAFA are two completely different entities. They hate each other.
Okay, so now, as a PSL, we go to SAFA and ask the referees to come so we can pay them. We're rendering service.
Yeah.
But you see what's happening now is because the referees are employed by SAFA, SAFA needs to pay them. SAFA, we know, is
they need to close shop.
So I understand what he's saying, that we've all said over the last 10 weeks being on the show is that the referees need to be full time. Yeah. For that to happen,
they need to have money.
They need to have money to do that.
Here's my question also. Wasn't there full sponsorship from Outsurance?
That was only, no, exactly, 5 million. I don't know where that money went, but yes.
The attire and...
And they've lost that sponsorship, right?
Well, there was a big thing with the PSL because there was cross advertising because the PSL is...
I think also those big Outsurance logos in front, yeah, I think there was a big issue, right? You're right.
Yeah, it was because of the... So because you can't have two companies that do the same thing advertised. So you can't have, for example, ABSA, because they do insurance, mm-hmm, and Outsurance.
Yeah. Mm.
They both do insurance.
Yeah.
So that's where the problem was.
See.
And I think they've obviously lost the sponsorship, so the PSL obviously won that. But could stand to be corrected.
Yeah, but it just looks like we're going to face potentially another half decade of the same issue that we've had in the PSL.
Yeah, it gives us a lot to talk about, eh?
Yeah, we will stay employed.
But coaches are losing jobs, teams are getting relegated in the meantime, and the guy is catching a flight in the morning to go to a factory.
Correct. Mm. Sad.
Really?
Third world country, my brother.
Yeah, but I mean, we'll always have that to discuss. And
then we want VAR. So let's pay the referees first.
We should.
Instead of building stadiums, let's invest on the referees first. They're improving the games, the players improve.
Yeah, and we've got stadiums.
So. Okay, not Celtics, but I'm saying it.
All right, moving on. The Vavavoom. I think we should jump. I think I'm seeing nervous eyes from our editors.
Not long left, I promise you. Yeah. Car of the week. We're going to go to my boy, probably your boy as well, Opa Manisa, his G-Wagon. Short for Geländewagen. Did you know that? No?
Geländewagen,
which means cross-country vehicle, coming in at over just over 2 million rand entry level.
I can cross-country for a lot less than
I know. It's ridiculous.
That's a dope car.
It's beautiful, bro. Originally designed for the military in 1974, it has come a long way, and a lot of people are actually preferring it to the Range Rover.
Yeah.
It's stylish, yeah.
Yeah, it is cool, hey? It's very much a footballer's car.
Yeah, yeah.
Not so much here, though, but certainly in Europe.
It doesn't apply to us. We're not footballers.
Yeah. I think it's going to be the new...
to our I-10s.
Yeah. It's definitely going to be the new BEE.
No parking issues in Cape Town.
Absolutely, man.
Yeah, we're good.
G-Wagon.
Nah, but that's a dope car. That's my dream car.
Your favorite part of the show.
Yeah.
Undoubtedly. The joke of the day.
I think this is the time where you need to switch off the machines.
Yeah. The joke
Brace
of the day.
Brace yourselves, gentlemen.
Load shedding, please.
Last week, I got a good reaction from Mr. Modisa there. How do you stop squirrels from playing soccer? Hide the ball. It drives them nuts.
It was lovely, guys.
I knew it was going to be something with nuts.
You had the whole week.
How bad is that?
That's my problem. You had the whole week.
What I hate about these jokes also is the setup. Like, what's the context for squirrels in soccer?
It's brilliant.
That joke is only funny because it's so badly telegraphed. Like, you see it coming a mile away.
Yeah, you're like, it's going to be nuts. And it's going to be nuts.
Thank you. Motivational quote of the week.
Please.
From my boy Wayne Sanderlands, always thinking of how I can improve as a player and a person. I will always keep pushing. Boom.
Proper.
1 hour 5. Not too bad.
Not too bad. And so we wrap up right there. Thank you very much to my boys for coming in. Steko Modise, the legend. Sean, the legend.
Very emotional me, myself.
Very emotional. Go have a sleep, please. We'll see you on Thursday.
Do you wanna smoke, bro?
I regret nothing I said. Everything that I said, I mean it.
And we love you for it.
Thank you.
Until next week, the car wash. This is a Hlangana Corner, fam.
The car wash
shop. Hello, boys.
Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on Sokola Duma Radio. This is a Hlangana Corner.